blessings and praises. Now I bring my heart no longer. Your blessings can take. So I worship and I magnify your name. I lift my hands in all. Oh, this joy.
thankful that I made last Sunday night service, since it was such a special service, and I came close to missing it because when I got back from eating, it was 2 o'clock and nobody was here to let me in. I stood outside 20 till 3 and sweat was running down my back, and I thought, I could be waiting here till 4 o'clock. If nobody's here but 3, I think I'll just go back to Conway. But fortunately, Brother Durham showed up, so I'm sure thankful that I did not miss that service. And I'm thankful that God gave me a mindset to love this kind of worship, and I'm thankful that God gave me a mindset a little over a year ago to want to be here more faithfully. So, and I was reading some scriptures this week about, said, reckon yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then there's another scripture that says, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. That I think it's in Hebrews where it says, cast ye not away therefore your confidence that hath great recompense of reward. So evidently that's saying don't give up. And another scripture in Hebrews said, exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be deceived through the deceitfulness of sin. So it sounds like back then they were around each other daily where they could encourage each other daily, but we're not exactly in that atmosphere. But, you know, I'm thankful. You know, when we got such a small congregation, everybody is needed. It's good to be needed. It's good to fill a need. So I've been working extra usher duty lately because we're short on ushers. So, you know, it's good to have it to be needed. You know, I mean, just to have a part in the church, not to be the pastor or some big position, but just to be needed. So I think it had to be a joke, but, you know, this society we're living in now, my sister told me, must be a joke, it must not be true, but she said on Facebook this week it was Burger King was coming out with a gay burger, and it would be wrapped in rainbow wrapping. But that may just be a joke, but the kind of world we're living in now, you know, you never know what to expect. So anyway, I'm just thankful that the Lord has changed my attitude in the last few months to where, you know, I used to think I'm justified in not coming on Wednesday night because I live so far away. But I know you got to be here to get the full benefits. You got to be here for not forsake the assembling of yourselves. So I thank God that he's changed my attitude.
Tonight and today, and I was thinking the Bible said that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So I need strength, and I'm sure that's spiritually. And I know that it's not just something that I have to let the Lord know that I need and want. You have to Sister Lynette was singing this other song about joy, saying that you might have to leap for it. Might even have to sing for it. But anyway, I need it. And I need spiritual strength. And to be able to work with God and I know that when I think of this, the word joy, it's not so much laughter. I think you can, that's included probably. But it just being able to have a realization of our salvation with Christ and to gain from that. It's a, you know, that you can be, I always think about being filled, you know, like it's, it was one of the requirements Brother Smith was giving us in, I think it was in Hebrews this morning, about being able to qualify what he was talking about. I'm trying to remember. And one of them was being filled with the Holy Ghost. And one of the requirements, and to, what was that scripture? And was that in the fifth chapter, I guess, of Hebrews? I can't remember. But I just remember one of those qualifications was being filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Ghost. And I think it was in Hebrews, anyway, the fifth chapter, that he was talking about. Yeah, we was talking about, he was talking about, you know, the things that would be impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers. And it, I was thinking just a little further down, it was talking about, maybe that was another scripture where it talked about being, to be able to, well, one thing about this one here that he turned back to the part about the heavenly tasting of the heavenly gift. He turned back to John 4. And I don't know, I never connected those two scriptures that he did on John 4 that talked about the gift of God. Well, Jesus met this woman at the well, and he told her that if she knew who it was that was talking to her, and he said that if you knew the gift of God, and that gift of God is Jesus. And that's what I was thinking, and I never connected that before with the heavenly gift in Hebrews. Same person, Jesus, the heavenly gift. And that's what we have to do. I was thinking about even getting the joy, you know, just to be in, just begin to taste of this gift. You know, he was telling her, you know, about knowing, she didn't know, you know, and I'm getting acquainted with it. You know, being able to realize that we may not maybe get the a whole meal of it, but just begin to taste of it. Begin to feast on this gift, a heavenly gift that God has allowed us to have. And then we also get to feast on the good word of God. It's a taste of the good word of God. You know, these, if you begin to do these things, it was talking about people that, you know, that's going to be impossible. It's impossible for those, you know, that were once enlightened and that have tasted. That's what we're doing. We're beginning to taste of the heavenly gift, the Jesus that has given his life that we might have life. And then we can also, you know, we're made partakers with the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Ghost, and then the good word of God. And that's what we do. We are actually partaking, you know. Sometimes, you know, we was talking about, Sister Donna was talking about, you know, not having, knowing whether you have all that God would want you to have all the knowledge and all that, you know, we, it, you know, I like to come in and just get the whole package in one night and have it done with. But we, like you said, use the word taste of it. You know, it's not like having a whole meal, just saying taste it. And also that scripture that talks about line up on line. I don't know. I guess, you know, when you think about it, this is such a great calling that God has given his people. And then we're getting to partake in it. And if you can just, I guess, receive it line up on line. If you begin to, I was just thinking last, we were talking about the message last Sunday, Brother Smith, about the folks that was here last Sunday not visiting with us. And I really enjoyed that service because I felt like, you know, maybe they was, I know they helped pull some of the things that you was giving us on tonight, and I think they really helped bring that about. I really do. I think, you know, it might be said, we don't have to stand up when Brother Smith's up talking, but I guess it was a funeral. And some of these churches out here, even when a minister is reading from the Bible, they stand up. And I thought, well, it's not necessary. But some of it may not. But somehow, if you can begin to participate and show more participation, I something about that. I think that helped Brother Smith Sunday night. I think it really pulled something out of him. I'm not saying we didn't have to do that every service, but I was just watching it. You know, I feel like he was getting inspiration from that. And I said, well, we ought to just do that even when we don't have visitors, you know, begin to, you know, back him up, you know, stand up with him. And I really appreciated that. And I think when we begin to, I was thinking about this tasting and just maybe just bites of the things of God. You know, like he's talking about tasting, and he talks about line up on line. Precept on precept, and sometimes, you know, we used to, you know, eating in the natural, we you know, have a whole meal. We just, you know, but these things of God, that they are so precious until if we can just get a bite of it, if we can just begin to just enjoy just a little bit of it at a time. You know, I don't know. I know we, you know, if God just dumped the whole thing on us, I wouldn't be able to contain it, But if I can just start just enjoying a taste of it, you know, just a little bit of it, a bite, you know, if you may, just whatever, because, you know, these things, I mean, what we get to hear, you know, you're gonna have to think about it a while. You're gonna have to let it, have to meditate on it some. I know I go home and I think about what's been said, and I let it kind of get saturated with the things of God, because this is precious, you know. This is the truth that we hear, and sometimes I feel like, as much as I've heard, I should be graduated. You know what I'm saying? I should be. Was Brother Smith reading the scripture about, you know, we you know, like we're babes. I can't remember the scripture in Corinthians talked about, you know, we ought to be teachers. You know, we have need of somebody teaching us. We ought to be teachers. Sometimes I feel that way because I've heard, you know, this gospel in the body of Christ, not just out here in the world, out here in the religious world, but I mean in the body of Christ. I've heard it, you know, like I say, you know, we was under Brother Tucker and pretty strict man, and they was talking about that today, but anyway. And then we got to hear it from Brother Leniger, his points of view, and I feel like Brother Tucker was more of a hands-on preacher. You know, he visited with the people more because he was here. Brother Leniger was not. He was traveling. Of course, he threw the book at us when he was here, but he was traveling more. And I appreciate Brother Weiniger's ministry. He was here with us, and we got to. I just really feel like I beat myself up some over this, but I feel like I'm without excuse, you know. And Brother Smith has labored in the gospel, and sometimes I feel even ashamed. But anyway, But that's what we have to do. You don't get it all overnight. I know that. And so that's why I would appreciate this, these thoughts about why they use taste, tasting of the good word of God and tasting of the heavenly gift. It may be the only way we can get it. You know, we may not be able to, like I say, make a meal out of it. We just have to take bites of it, take other words with as much as we can absorb. And then again, in the Old Testament, when they when manna was given to the people, that, you know, God fed a manna in the wilderness, and he didn't give them a week's supply at a time. He just gave them manna daily, you know, our daily bread. He just gave it to them as they needed it, and just daily. Of course, one day of the week on the Sabbath day, they didn't gather any, so they had to gather twice as much on the sixth day, but for enough for the seventh day. But anyway, I was just trying to tie these thoughts Brother Smith was giving us in Bible study this morning and all, and I was just thinking it could be, you know, that the things of God are so precious until if that's how we can contain and receive the things of God, is maybe just a little bit of it at a time, you know, just I don't want to even think that that's not reasonable. You know, I mean, that's, you know, whatever God wants us to have. And why they use that kind of terminology, because I know, like I say, that sometimes it's just in the natural, you know, now the last Sunday, my wife fixed this breakfast, whatever it was, casserole, and she was asked me about fixing two pans of it. I said, no, just fix one, because if you fix too much, you know, it may be good, but you know how to deal with something real good. Even if it's good, you get too much, you don't want no more of it. You know, that's all you want. But if you just get a little bit of it, just say just enough to taste it and say, boy, that was good, then you go back to the pan, it's all gone. And that makes it next time you'll get, you know, you'll appreciate it next time. I've been to play things that's in the natural out here that I've had it, and then I go back and there's more of it, and I say, nah, you know, I've had enough of it. But anyway, the good things of God, that's what I'm thinking about, is I want to appreciate God. Whatever it takes for him to help me to appreciate the good thing that he gives us, and to appreciate the wonderful word that he gives us, the wonderful gospel to help us with our lives, and to we talk about, you know, being overcomers and measuring up to his stature, the stature of Christ. I just, you know, can't help but thinking, you know, even a lifetime, you know, we live. Of course, I appreciate your message, Brother Smith, on the restored church, and it's some consolation there, because when you've been around here a little while and you've heard a lot of good things, and you try to take an assessment of yourself, and you think, you know, I'm not any far along than I am, but you know, God's, you know, work is done in his time, and that's what that's to me some consolation to realize that I've been in places where they felt like, you know, we got all that God wants us to have, and it's just strictly up to us to just put it into practice and go ahead and be overcomers. And I mean, that's a good thought, you know, and you don't want to hinder, you know, you don't want to do anything to hinder the things of God and hinder whatever God is doing or can do. I don't want to be a hindrance to it either. But I want to at the same time realize, you know, that maybe this is as far as, you know, along that I'm supposed to be. You know, sometimes you can beat yourself up over that too and think, well, sometimes I feel good. I really feel good about my progress, but sometimes I don't. Sometimes I feel like, well, maybe like we was talking today between services about, you know, whether we doing all that we know to do. And that's a tough statement to make, even if you've asked a question along that line, because I don't feel like I'm doing all I know to do, but I think I'm doing a lot. I think I'm doing a lot, and I mean in my own thinking here, not so much God may not think I'm doing a lot, but I'm saying I feel like from what I understand about this gospel, and I'm very appreciative of what I'm hearing to help me understand it more, understand what we're doing, you know, with our lives and how we're to eventually be totally given to the Lord. You know, we want our lives to be living a praise to God. You know, that's what we are, to be a praise in our life, to live such a life that our life will be a praise to God. But sometimes you have to look at it and realize, well, you know, if God give me more time, you know, maybe, you know, whatever it takes, you know, I want to accept that too. I want to accept whatever God is having for me, but I want to realize what I need to realize about where I'm at with God, and I want to I want to go with God as much as I can. But anyway, I'm just so thankful for these thoughts here on from Bible study on today until this evening about God and what He's doing for us, His work. And I appreciate God's people, and to know that we're in a place that we can work with Him and learn to work with Him. We work with our pastor and learn to see what God is doing, and help us with, you know, being able to understand. I appreciate that. I don't feel like somebody asked, well, you, how your progress? Well, sometimes I think I'm doing okay, but then sometimes I don't. Because sometimes you may not realize. You may think you're doing okay, and you might not. Sometimes the light, you know, maybe and not bright enough for you to see what you're doing. In my mind, my understanding, but I know in the natural, I've had some experiences where I thought I was doing all right until somebody put a little more fire on me, and then I found out I could step it up a notch. And I guess God can do that too. You know, He can put a little more pressure on you. And there are times I guess that He may need to, you know, put more pressure. That's what some people use, you know, the trials of this life, or this world, that God used that as well to help us to get more serious about it. You know, when you read the scripture where Jesus prayed more earnestly, you know, you think, well, Jesus, why? He prayed more earnestly? You know, like, you know, was there room for improvement in Him? If there was more room for improvement in Him, what about me? You know, if I think I'm doing okay, and I may be fooling myself, and I don't want to do that. I want to realize that that was quite a cup that Jesus had before Him. You know, he prayed that God would take it. You know, it's from Him. He would have to go through that, but he realized it was not God's will. He had to go through that. But anyway, I want to be submissive enough to allow God to work and to see that it's, you know, what it's going to take. And sometimes I don't always see that. It's not always before me visible to where I can see that. So that's why I have to just stay put, stay on the vine. And just see what God, you know, wait on God on some things and let Him see, show you. But anyway, it's good. I just appreciate the Lord tonight. We're singing about joy, and I just thought, you know, that some of these things we have to do to try to get some joy, and even if we have it, maintain it. You know, we want to maintain the joy of the Lord in our lives and to lift Him up and to express things like that to help us with our walk. You know, if we're to walk with Him, it might take a little more joy, a little more uplift. I tell you this one little thing here. I remember when I was just, this is natural, not spiritual, but anyway, just in the military, I just throw that at you. I've told it before, but anyway, you're thinking, you know, this is you can't do what you can do. I remember that so well, I never forget it. And you know, I thought we were, you know, in the military, we ran just about everywhere you went. You'd run it. So anyway, I remember running like this, and we had the full gear, you know, rifle and backpack, the whole nine yards, and we would run it, and I just felt like I could not. I'm just telling you, I could not go any further. We were running, and I felt like I was just going to drop, and it'd be over with. But anyway, I wasn't the one that was in charge, so I just had to run when they said run and stop when they said stop. But I look back on it, and I think, I just thought I wasn't going to make it. But I did. I kept running. I just kept running. And I didn't fall out. I didn't drop. But I have seen some people fall out. And I know that's a real thing. That does happen. And I've seen people collapse. Anyway, I know the Lord can help us with this work, with this walk. And that's what I'm leaning on. I'm leaning on the Lord for help and to help me walk. I want to walk with you, Lord. I want to go with you. I want to go with your people. So I'm leaning on him. And I want his joy. I want his strength. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw them words at you. I don't know if they do any good or not. But anyway, that's what's on my heart. So I want to go with the Lord tonight. Praise the Lord.
I appreciate Brother Talley bringing it up. Back in the sixth chapter of Hebrews, because it does, you know, you have to try to figure out just what is he talking about here. Of course, he's telling us to go on to perfection, and one of the things you need to remember when you're reading this chapter, that this letter wasn't written to you. It was written to the Hebrews back there in the end of the Jewish world. And it was written in a time when it was called today. And eternal judgment was in place. The judgment seat of Christ was in place. These people back there could sin unto death. They could lose eternal life. I don't think we've attained to this same place. We're not in a parallel with what Paul, if he's the writer here, is talking about. But we can apply it to us because we're teaching. We have an understanding that the church is going to be restored. So it is going to be, we are going to be in this same condition. These scriptures will apply to us, even though they don't apply right now fully. So when he's telling us to go on, he's telling them to go on to perfection. And in verse 4 it says, For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened. Now here he gives the qualifications who cannot be renewed again to repentance. That's what he's saying. It's impossible. If you've had you've received these things, then you cannot be renewed again to repentance after you've once received them. And so here's what they are, and Brother Talley brought them out. You're once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. So, you know, you have to discern or find scripturally, what is he saying here? What is tasting the heavenly gift? Well, of course, Brother Talley mentioned that because, you know, if you've tasted the Word of God, of course, that word tasted means partakers of. I asked Brother Weiniger sitting here, I said, how do you taste of death? Jesus said, some of you standing here shall not taste of death. So that sounds like a pretty good mouthful right there. But like Brother Talley said, it is true that these people he was talking to, they had a taste of these things, but they hadn't finished the whole meal yet because they weren't of full age yet. So what he's saying is true, that it did come, you know, they were still developing and maturing, and he was still encouraging them to go on even though they had tasted. Now, the heavenly gift he brought out, I mentioned that scripture in John 4:10 where the Samaritan woman, you know, was talking to Jesus at the well, and he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that speak with you, you'd ask me for a drink, and I'd give you water that you'd never thirst again. So he was referring to her knowing who he was that God had sent to this earth as being the gift of God. There's another scripture I wanted to share with you in Romans 5 concerning the gift of God that I just thought, since he was on this, we might just look at it, because I know myself, I've read these qualifications here many, many times and tried to figure out what's he talking about, the gift of God, tasting the gift of God, and tasting the Word of God. What's the difference, you know? So here in Romans 5, I'm going to have to read just a little bit to you, but maybe it'll help you get it. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope and glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. Patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous person will one die, yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. See, Jesus, he died, he paid a price. He made an atonement for your sin and my sin. Justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. See, we were reconciled or brought back to God through the atonement of his death, the sacrifice he made personally. But the life he had in the Holy Ghost is what really will save us, if we can get a hold of that life, that nature. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now receive the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For under the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who is the figure of him that was to come. That's Jesus. But not as the offense of Adam's sin, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one man, of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. But as it was by one, that sinned, so is the gift. The judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by one, or by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So those that's tasted the free gift, see, we've tasted that. Jesus came and gave us a free, it's grace. It's God's grace. It's unmerited favor of God's grace. He died and made atonement for your sins and mine. All I have to do is accept it. Accept the sacrifice he made, and he imputes righteousness to me in that. That's the free gift. That's the gift that was coming to the woman at the well. So if you've tasted of that gift, which you have, if you've accepted Christ, your Savior, and the atonement he made for your sins. Now, that's for past sins. He came to you and erased your past sins in the price he paid in death. And the offense of sin by Adam, we all died in that, but we all are made alive unto God by what Christ came and done for all of us. That's the gift. That's the free gift of God. But then that's different. The Word of God is more than just the atonement that Jesus made, but it's what'll wash you. It's what will cleanse your mind. It's what will purify you. It'll transform you by the Holy Ghost. Oh, you have to be made partakers of the Holy Ghost. We're tasting that. We can apply this to us for that. We're our taster. We're tasters. We're tasting the Word of God. We've been made partakers. We've been enlightened. We may not have all the light yet, but we have been enlightened, I think, in this body. We have tasted the heavenly gift. We've tasted the Word of God. One thing I think we're lacking is the powers of the world which is to come. We have that, those that rule and reign with him for 1,000 years, and the early church had that. They had eternal judgment. They had the Spirit of God without measure working through that ministry in that church, and people grew up in that, and they were tasting that power of eternal judgment that was working in their life, that was putting them back in the garden. They were getting permission to go on into perfection, into the holy place of God. And so I don't think we've achieved all of that yet, but we are tasters. We've tasted. But I'm just trying to help you discern the difference between the free gift and the Word of God. And I think you've been made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and I think we've been enlightened. We're lacking light and all the Word of God yet. And we're certainly, I don't think we've tasted the powers of the world to come. That's where that's what God is going to unleash next. When God gets ready, he's going to choose out some men, and he's going to give them the keys to the kingdom, and whatsoever they bind on this earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever is loosed on this earth will be loosed in heaven. God's going to back some men up with that kind of power. He's going to qualify them first. We're still in the qualifying stages. But when that happens, God's going to require more of all of us to see the glory of God revealed, his power and glory manifested in its fullness. I think we're edging up to that. We're getting closer to it all the time. And so there's more being required of us all the time. And so, but anyway, I thought Brother Tally brought up some very good points on this gift of God, and I thought I'd just say a little bit more about it to help you discern the difference between the gift of God and the Word of God. Those each one of those qualifications, what they are, and why he says it's impossible. If you read in Hebrews 6 there, 4, it's impossible. Let's just read on now from there, not mentioning the qualifications. Verse 6, if they shall fall away, those that's tasted, been enlightened, made partakers of, it's impossible if they fall away to renew them again unto repentance, saying they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. I heard a preacher preach on this one time, and he said, here's the way he explained this. He said, this is like a stop sign. He said, this just means it's impossible for you to go on. If you've tasted this and you fall away, it's possible for you to move forward. When you understand what the writer in this book is saying, he's not saying that. He's not saying, you know, but he's led up to this in his letter, letting them know that the purpose Christ came, who he is, the promise of God, the oath God made with this man, and what God's done for us through him. And he went on to perfection. Chapter 5, he was made the author of salvation, and he learned obedience through the same things that he suffered. Now let us do this. Let us go on to perfection. And if we've tasted and we've been made partakers of these things, then it would be impossible for us to be renewed unto repentance if we've done all of this, if we fall away. It's pretty clear what he's saying. But I'm just trying to say, if you read this, it could scare you, because you'd think, dear God, I don't know, maybe I've tasted all this, and if I fell away, I've talked to people that said, Brother Smith, I think I've went too far. I don't think I can get back. I've told them, you ain't went too far. There ain't nobody hit that place yet in this world. God hasn't revealed yet. We haven't received yet what would qualify you to a place that you could never find repentance. You ain't done enough that you can't repent of or get forgiveness for. But there is a sin. John said later, he said, there is a sin unto death, and I don't say you should pray for that. There's people that had turned away. They'd sinned a sin unto death. He said there's no sense in praying for them. But Paul said in this letter, I have greater hope for you. I believe that you're going to be able to get a hold of this and be diligent enough to achieve it. So, I know it's a scary thing to think God's going to require us to go into a place where we can't sin. But on the other hand, there's a great joy that goes along with it. To think that God could get us to a place that we would be, that we would be of such a nature that we wouldn't sin. Sin would be taken out of us. The nature of sin would be gone. Don't that sound good?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to get to that place where there's no sin, no wrongdoing? It's been purged from your mind and your thinking and your nature, that God could help you to live a life that you would never have no condemnation. Hallelujah. God would lift us up above, out of the pit, and help us to stand. Well, it's a great hope and it's a great message. But it's like Brother Tally said, we're having to taste all this until we can get it all digested. We're just eating as much of it as we can digest at a time. I liked his illustration where he didn't want Sister Tally to cook up something so good that it became so common that it wasn't, I wasn't even appreciated anymore. And so that's a good thought. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says, "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much of it as is sufficient for thee, lest thou vomit it." That's quite a scripture, isn't it? You can eat honey. You can eat something rich until you can't take no more of it. And that's talking about the Word of God. You can't grow too fast. You can't just say, "Well, I'm just going to eat. I'm just going to go ahead and reach perfection today, this week. I'm going to get it done." No, you'll have to vomit it. You start trying. I can testify to this. When I came to the body, I thought, "I'm going to get busy and do it. I'm just going to go ahead and make it." I ate up all this y'all could give me. I gobbled every bit of it up. But it wasn't very long that I started spitting some of it up. I said, I can't do all this. My nature got in the way. And I thought, I can't do everything that they're telling me to do. I can't digest all this yet. I don't have what the wherewithal to get it accomplished. So I had to give some of it up and say, "Well, I have to do what I can do. What God's given me and what He's given me the power to do, I can do that. I can't do no more than that." Again, let me say this. God knows you. And just because you hear this, just because God quickens it to you, doesn't mean that you have got it and digested it and been tempered in it through experience to the point that you can live it. See, God knows you can't do that when He begins to reveal it to you. But He has to reveal it to you, and you have to go through experiences. Sometimes you'll fall. Sometimes you got to get back up. You got to take another bite. You got to taste some more of it. God knows that just because you heard it, just because it's been revealed, just because you've got it enlightened, you've been made a partaker of it, it's not really become a part of you yet. See, God knows that. And God's imputing that righteousness of what that is going to accomplish in you until it is accomplished. So don't beat yourself up. Sometimes you just have to say, "God, help me. You know, I'm not going to give up, but I made a blunder this deal this time. I messed up." But I'm going to stay in here. I'm saying, "God, help me. Hold my hand. Don't turn me loose. I'm still want to go." God knows your heart, and if your heart's right, and you're pure, you're not being deceitful or not, trying to get around God in any way, but your heart's open before God, and you still want to go, that's all God requires of you. There's a part of this that is His part to develop it in you, the Holy Ghost to work in your life. And God will do things that you might not think He'll do. He'll take you through dry places. He'll see, how long can you go without a drink? How much of this have you got, how much life have you got bottled up in you? You a one-hump camel or a two-hump camel? How long can you go through the desert without any water? How much have you stored up of the Spirit of God that'll help you through the hard times? Sometimes God will turn your faucet off and say, "Go through this desert. I want to see you go through this desert. I want to see how you do. I've been giving you water. I've trained you how to soak it up and store it up." Brother Weininger.
God is not unrighteous to forget you. He's encouraging.
Yeah. Brother Weininger wants me to read it. "For God's not unrighteous or forget your work and labor of love, which we have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." So he's just saying there, God, Paul's encouraging them here to show diligence, continue on, stay on with this until to the end. But God will. He'll take you through things. He'll take you through mountaintop experiences. He'll give you joy. The shouting times, you know, right now we're going through a little dry. It's not just, I mean, I don't think we're dried up, but we're going through a little something right now. You ought to be able to feel that. But the shouting times are coming back. The mountaintop experiences will be back. Just hold on. Don't get shook out of this. Don't be discouraged. Don't let your knees get feeble and your hands hang down. But get them, straighten up your knees and get your hands back up in there and begin to praise Him. Find reasons to praise His name and glorify Him and serve Him and serve His people. God will come back in among us in a great way, and He'll bless us again, and we'll get more enlightenment. We'll get greater taste in the future. And His part, He's working on His part. Don't think He's not. He hadn't went anywhere. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're the ones that He's working on. He's going to change us, like that song. What did that song say this morning about our the creature that I am, to change this creature that I am? I want to change. The writer, I like the way they ended that song. I want to change. Put it in there again. Exclamation point. I mean, I want to change. So, He's changing us. He's helping. Hallelujah. All right.
There's a scripture in Matthew 21:16.
Jesus said, "Have you not heard? Have you not read? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise." And that scripture that he's reading there is taken from Psalms 8 and 2. But starting in Psalms 8, 1, it said, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength." See, he used that word, he changed that word strength to praise. "Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger." And then he goes on, he says, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest to have dominion over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the fields, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." And so, just to reiterate the significance here, what we are, who we are, where we are is not lost on God. He knows exactly who we are. He knows exactly what we're composed of, what we're made of, what provokes us, what inspires us. He knows our uprisings. He knows our downsettings. And he said he was reminding them. He said, "Have ye not read?" He said, "Out of the mouths of babes, thou hast ordained praise or strength." And then if you read over in Matthew 18, Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst in the first verse. In the third verse, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever," in the fourth verse, "whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And so I was thinking today, as Brother Smith, when he asked my daughter, "Would you, you know, permit your parents to pick your spouse?" I was thinking, he followed that up with, Abraham was a man of faith. And his existence, his happiness, his joy, his peace of mind, his future, his wants, his desires, everything that he valued, everything that he treasured, everything that he held dear, he put solely in the hands of God. And that's what made him a man of faith. That's what he put his life in the hands of God. And of course, that's what Brother Smith was talking about. Jesus did. He came and he put everything that he had. He put everything that he had in the hands of God. And he said, "I'm yours. Use me as you will." Praise God. And so, like a little child, he said, "Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings." You know, my children, I was teasing them at lunch today. They were going to go somewhere with Sister Rachel, and of course they needed money, you know. And so I'm, you know, doling out money. And I told them, I said, "One of these days I'm going to have me a daddy to loan me some money." You know, but you know, I have that today. I have the Father in heaven. I have the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Sharber, when we went to Birmingham to visit him, if you listen to him preach, he'll say, "Praise the Lord, praise God." And if he says that once, he'll say it 15 or 20 times or 100 times. "Praise the Lord, praise God." I'm not exactly sure why he says that, but it's something I noticed. And I was thinking about your comments from last weekend, Brother Smith, about who is our Father. Well, Jesus was given power to create everything. And so I have that today. I have a man. I have a Father I can go to, thank God, and ask for to fill my needs. Hallelujah. And true, it's true that I may, you know, just like, you know, I reflect on my children because I'm a dad now trying to, you know, Gladys and I are trying to raise these kids. And they have to humble themselves to me. They have to submit, you know, "Dad, I need this." Or, you know, with girls, it's a little more, you know, bat in the eyes and, you know, a little more affection. "Daddy," you know, you can almost count daddy's going to follow up with something. But that's all right. They humble themselves because they recognize that I'm their provider. My Lord, if I could just do that with the Lord, and if I could just recognize that he's my provider. Oh, God. All these things that trip me up and all these things that hinder me and frustrate me. And like you said, Brother Talley, when I recognize that I'm not as far as I think I should be, or I'm not where I want to be. If I would just humble myself and call on him. Hallelujah. He would supply all my needs. He would fulfill my greatest hopes and dreams. Praise God. There's a song I wanted to sing. Thought about here tonight. Sister Joanne, I don't know if we have the words to it, but I'm going to text you a link. Praise God. Try this blue microphone. Rock will never tremble. Okay. Let me get the words up here. Got to get them up here where I can see them. Way out in the harbor is a rock that's standing sure. The storms may dash against it, it always shall endure. This fortress is my Jesus, a rock that is so true, and this rock will never tremble under you. Oh, this rock will never tremble under you. It will stand through every storm that you go through. You may tremble on the rock, some people do, but this rock will never tremble under you. How firm this great foundation that undergirds my soul. No storm can overthrow it, no wave can o'er it roll. Just build your life upon it, for it will see you through, and this rock will never tremble under you. Oh, this rock will never tremble under you. Stand through every storm that you go through. You may tremble on the rock, some people do, but this rock will never tremble under you. Way out in the harbor is a rock that's standing sure. Though the storms may dash against it, it always shall endure. This fortress is my Jesus, a rock that is so true, and this rock will never change.
tremble under you. Oh, this rock will never tremble under you. It will stand through every storm that you go through. Oh, you may tremble on the rock, some people do, but this rock will never tremble under you. Oh, this rock will never tremble under you. It will stand through every storm that you go through. You may tremble on the rock, some people do, but this rock will never tremble under you. How firm this great foundation that undergirds my soul. No storm can overthrow it. No wave can o'er it roll. Just build your life upon it, for it will see you through. And this rock will never tremble under you. Oh, this rock will never tremble under you. It will stand every storm that you go through. Oh, you may tremble on the rock, some people do, but this rock will never tremble under you. Oh, this rock will never tremble under you. It will stand through every storm that you go through. You may tremble on this rock, some people do, but this rock will never tremble under you. Oh, this rock will never tremble under you. It will stand through every storm that you go through. May tremble on the rock, some people do, but this rock will never tremble under you. Oh, this rock will never tremble under you. It will stand through every storm that you go through. Humble yourself as a little child. You may tremble on the rock, some people do, but this rock will never tremble under you. Oh, this rock will never tremble under you. It will stand through every trial that you go through. You may tremble on the rock, some people do, but this rock will never tremble under you. How firm this great foundation that undergirds my soul. No storm can overthrow it. No wave can o'er it roll. Just build your life upon it, for it will see you through. And this rock will never tremble under you. Oh, this rock will never tremble under you. It will stand through every storm that you go through. May tremble on the rock, some people do, but this rock will never tremble under you. Oh, this rock will never tremble under you. You go through, you may tremble on the rock, some people do, but this rock will never tremble under you.
Look for his help every step of the way. That's the only way you'll make it. The only way we'll make it. Depending on him. Hallelujah. Let's give him a praise before we go home. God bless. Oh, God. God bless your people. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Your great mercy. Your strength, Lord. Oh, God. Hallelujah. You're our help. Our rock. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord.